Let us turn again to the part of God's Word that we read together, and that is Deuteronomy chapter 33, and we will read at verse 24. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 24. And of Asher he said, "Let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be." Moses is blessing the people. The blessing comes from God. And as Jacob himself, 400 years before this, gathered all his sons around him and blessed them, he also prophesied concerning them what was to take place for each one of his sons. And here is what is to take place for the tribes of Israel. And these blessings that are recorded are surely not just for our curiosity. They are written for our learning. And if we are God's people, they are written for our comfort. And we can learn how God will bless his people who serve him faithfully in this world. He will bless his people as he blessed the tribes of Israel. He will bless them as the tribe of Asher was blessed. And one of the greatest blessings that God gives his people is the blessing of strength. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. The name Asher, in fact, means happy or blessed. And we need that blessing. We need the blessing of Asher. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. We have many days before us, perhaps. Some have fewer than others, but there are days before most of us. And as thy days, whatever the day may be and however many the days are, God will give strength for each day. He will give strength to his people throughout all their days and to the very end. Well, we have considered recently that we are to run the race that is set before us, and we are to run to obtain. It's a spiritual race, and we are to be vigorous and determined and persevering. How can we avoid becoming weary and faint? Well, we are to look to Jesus. And we are also to lay hold of the promises. He has promised to be with his people all their days, even to the end of their journey. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. So we desire to look at this part of God's word in both verses 24 and 25, and we will notice with the Lord's help, first of all, the blessing of the Lord. And of Asher he said, "Let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass," the blessing of the Lord. And secondly, the promise of strength. "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." Thy strength, you have strength. God will give his people strength. He has promised them strength. "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." And in the third place, the continual grace. Throughout all the days of the life of the church or the believer, God will give grace. Sustaining grace, upholding grace, persevering grace, dying grace, grace to live, grace to die. "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." First, the blessing of the Lord. Secondly, the promise of strength. And thirdly, the continual grace. Well, every one of us should pray for this grace. We all need strength. And we all need the blessing of the Lord. We read in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." Well, this blessing, the blessing that doesn't give sorrow. Now, there's sorrow in the world, but the blessing in itself and the grace of God gives joy. Well, that is found only in Christ. This blessing the blessing of grace, the blessing of life and salvation, this free gift of God is in Christ. The wages of sin is death. There's death all around us. The world wants to pass it by. Well, they'll celebrate when the person dies, but they call it a celebration of life. But they like to overlook death. Or when they talk about death, they use it only as a means of getting as much out of this life as they can. We're all going to die, so now's the time to live. In fact, I'm too busy with living to think about death. That's what the world says. But we should think about death, because the wages of sin is death. And as long as we're pursuing sin, we will have death in the end and nothing but death. The everlasting wages of sin is death. Death eternal. But to receive life eternal and the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and adds no sorrow, that is found in Christ alone. Alone! There's no other way, no other hope. There are not many ways to God. Don't let the world's philosophy deceive you or false religion deceive you. There's one way. One way to heaven. One way through Jesus Christ alone. He calls you, come unto me, and I will give you rest, and I will save you. With the Lord's help, we will consider first the blessing of the Lord. And of Asher he said, verse 24, let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Asher, as we indicated, was one of the sons of Jacob. He was the ancestor of this tribe that is called Asher. Now, when Asher was born, it was in the days when polygamy was widespread, and even God's people fell into that sin. We do believe it was sin. Some theologians say it wasn't sin for them, but we believe it was still sin to have more wives than one. Well, Jacob had not only Leah, but Rachel, and then the maids of these two women. And Zilpah was one of them. And when Zilpah, Leah's maid, gave birth to Asher, Leah called him Asher because she was happy. Leah was happy. And so she called the baby Asher, which means happy. And so when we think of Asher, we naturally think of happiness and blessedness and being happy in the Lord and blessed by the Lord. And we read in Psalm 146, one of the, perhaps, the Lord's people's favorite psalms to sing, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Happy is that man. Happy is this person who has God for his or her help. That's the point. And whose hope is in the Lord his God. And the word happy in that Psalm 146, verse 5, it has the same root of the word that is found here, Asher. Happy, Asher. Happy is that man that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is the Lord his God. So if we are trusting in the Lord, if we're endeavoring to walk in his ways, we are truly happy. Doesn't mean we're full of elation all the time, but we're objectively happy. We are blessed, and we will enjoy more and more happiness, the feeling of it in our souls as we trust in the Lord and follow him. So real happiness is not in money, it's not in the ways of celebrities, but it's found in the Lord. Happiness is in Christ. And of course, it's in following him. Just a few chapters earlier here in the book of Deuteronomy, we read about both the blessings and the curses, death and life. And we are to choose life and not death. And the way to really choose life is to follow the way that leads to life. And if we do not do that, then we can only expect the curse. So God sets before us the blessings and the cursings that would come and that will come upon people for their obedience or disobedience. So the point is, and that's very clear in this book of God's Word in Deuteronomy, that true happiness cannot be found without obedience. You'll not be blessed without obeying. It just doesn't work that way. You'll not get real happiness without obedience to God. Famous people will tell you how empty they are, especially the ones who are very clearly following a course of sin. That's why they need other things like drugs and alcohol to keep them happy, pleasure. Well, that's not real happiness. Now, God indeed can bless us before we are obedient, but that is only by giving us a new heart so that we will be obedient. That's where the blessing begins, when a person is born again. And that blessing is free. We're not to think that we're to work for the blessing. That's not what is meant. People get confused. They think, well, what I'm being told is that I need to work hard and then God will bless me. I will earn the blessing. No, the blessing is free. He gives us the blessing first. It starts with Him blessing us without any obedience, because He gives us the blessing of grace in our souls, even a new heart, so that we begin to desire to obey God. And that's what we need to pray for above all things. If we are still not converted, if we still don't have a new heart, we should be crying to the Lord every day, every moment. O Lord, make me one of thy people. Give me a new heart. Cause me to be born again. Lord, send thy Spirit. Quicken me. Put life in my soul. Make me one of thy children by the new birth. And if this isn't the language of your heart every day, well, who is to blame for being where you are now, where you were 10 years ago, or longer than that? Cry to the Lord. Seek Him with your whole heart. He will save. He will hear your voice. The blessing of the Lord, we're to pray for it. But according to this part of God's Word, and the general teaching of the whole Bible, the blessing cannot be experienced in our lives, the blessing of the Lord cannot be experienced in our lives without going on in a way of faithfulness to God and obedience to Him. We can't expect the blessing of the Lord to rest upon us, our endeavors, our homes, if we're going the opposite direction of God's ways and obedience. It's only by following God that we can expect His blessing. Going on in obedience, sincerely following the Lord, walking in good conscience before Him, that is how we can expect peace and happiness and the blessing of the Lord. But if we turn away from Him, even God's people, if they turn away from the Lord and they indulge in selfishness or covetousness and they grow cold in prayer and remiss in duty, well, can they expect the blessing of the Lord? No. Instead of the blessing, they will get His displeasure. He will withdraw His presence. They won't feel joy in their hearts. Not until they repent and seek grace to follow the Lord closely. Well, we have a clear announcement here of the way of blessing. And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Now, the people of Israel were just about to enter the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan was the promised land. It was a picture of heaven. And so the blessings of the land of Canaan were a picture of the blessings of heaven. When we think about the blessings here, yes, we start with a picture and we think about real children, we think about real olive oil and real shoes and real iron and brass, but we need to think about what it's symbolizing, what it's a picture of, what are these things that are recorded, what are they telling us about? Well, they're telling us about the Lord's blessing, yes, in temporal things, but above all, in spiritual things. We don't want to exclude temporal blessings and benefits. God has promised to meet all our needs, and as far as it shall serve for God's glory, he will give us blessedness in temporal things, and he gives us all things richly to enjoy. But we need to be prepared for times of scarcity and times of persecution. That is true. But generally speaking, God provides for all our needs here in this world and for the life to come. Yes, it is heavenly blessings, spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is what we're to think about above all. And for example, the fruitfulness of the field is telling us about fruitfulness in grace, bearing the fruits of the Spirit. Let's begin to consider just briefly some of these blessings that Asher would be blessed with. Let Asher be blessed with children. Well, Asher, the tribe of Asher, indeed was blessed with children. When Jacob and his 11 sons and daughter went into Egypt, there were just a few in his family. I think there were 70 souls that entered into Egypt. And so Asher would have just been a very small family at that time. But you read later on in the Bible how the tribe of Asher expanded. And in the book of Numbers, chapter 1, and verses 40 and 41, we read about the children of Asher increased to 41,500 men, soldiers. And so there would be more women and children. That later on, the number increased to 53,400 at a later count. And so you see how the family, the tribe grew and increased in number. They had so many children. In biblical times, having a numerous offspring was considered a blessing. In today's world, of course, having a large family is looked down upon. Why do you have so many children? And the temptation is even to be embarrassed about the number of children that you have. But that's not biblical. That's not scriptural. The scriptures speak of the blessing of having the quiver full of arrows, and the home full of children. And so you see that is the blessing that Moses is conveying to the tribe of Asher. Let Asher be blessed with children, numerous children. And we should think of children not as something to be shunned and avoided, but think of it as a blessing. Think of family as a blessing. Mothers especially are honored, because you see how great an influence they have on the children. And raising children is not easy. We know that. Mothers know that best of all. But they should take encouragement from the Word of God, because whatever the world thinks of God's people and their families, however we might ourselves become weary, we know that children are the heritage of the Lord. And as Matthew Henry puts it, children, especially children of the covenant, are blessings, not burdens. And we should pray that our children would be in the covenant, that they would stay in the covenant, in the outward administration of the covenant of grace, in the church, and hearing the word of God, and making use of all the privileges that God gives his people. We should be mourning over children that have left the church. We should be praying that our young people would stay in the church and follow the ways of the Lord. Well, Asher was blessed with children. And it has been suggested that when we read, "Let him be acceptable to his brethren," that Asher was pleasant towards others. He was amiable. He was easy to get along with. And people might say, well, that's not something we need to hear about, being kind to one another. That's for secular leaders to talk about. Not at all. It comes from the Bible. We're to be courteous. We're to be gentle and long-suffering. We shouldn't just think, well, people just have to take me the way I am. No, that's not Christianity. We're to be courteous and having compassion one to another. So Asher was blessed in this way. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. Let him be acceptable. Let him be amiable, and let him live peaceably among his brethren. And also we read, let him dip his foot in oil. Well, the tribe of Asher was located on the northwestern side of Israel. It was situated along the Mediterranean Sea. And it was a fertile territory. And Asher would be fruitful. And this land was known for its olive groves, and so there would be much olive oil produced. The crops or the fruits would be bountiful. And so much oil that they would be able not only to anoint their heads with oil, but wash their feet in the oil. So fruitful this tribe would be. Let him dip his foot in oil. When we think of oil, our attention is should be drawn to the anointing of the Spirit. Oil is a symbol of the anointing of the Spirit, the gracious influences of the Holy Spirit of God. Oil was used to anoint priests and kings, and this anointing with oil symbolized the gifts and graces that were given from God to help the person to perform his work. And so God promises to bless his people with the unction of the Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit. God will give grace. God will give wisdom. God will give strength to his people. And so we should be praying that spiritually our foot would be dipped in oil. And then when we think about the feet and how the feet are used for walking and running, well, let us be praying that as we would go forward in the spiritual journey, that spiritually, figuratively speaking, our foot would be dipped in oil. We would have the grace of the Holy Spirit to go forward and run swiftly in the ways of the Lord. Yes, in a path of obedience, we're to be walking in upright ways and going swiftly. As the psalmist says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. When God gives me desire and grace, I will go forward swiftly in the path of obedience. Well, that leads us to say something about the shoes. Verse 25, thy shoes shall be iron and brass. Now the shoes may refer to not the shoes themselves, but what is walked upon. And under the shoes may be iron and brass or bronze. Perhaps it's indicating that the land would be full of these metals, that they would have plenty to make their tools with and so on. Or it is speaking about the soles of their shoes would be studded with brass and iron. They would be protected. Their feet would be protected as they walked along the rocky coasts of the tribe of Asher. Well, we can learn from this that God will give his people full equipping and fortification. He will strengthen them and protect them as they dwell in this world and as they make their journey through this world. They're not to be sojourners here, but they're passing through. They're traveling, they're walking, they're running the race that is set before them, and they need to be equipped. They need to be spiritually strengthened for the journey. And this is the blessing of the Lord. This is that which makes us rich. This will give us true happiness when the Lord blesses us with unsearchable riches in Christ. And we are to praise the Lord for his promises. Blessed be God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And so we see from this part of God's word, and I'm quoting Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, that the blessings are in Christ. Spiritual blessings, eternal blessings. God has blessed us in Christ, and we're to go to Christ as the storehouse of spiritual benefits. We must come to him for grace. Go to him, friend, for all that you need for time and eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ turns no one away. And if we come to him for the blessing, depending on him alone for salvation, he will bestow it upon us. He promises, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." So let us confess our sins. Let us seek forgiveness by the blood of Jesus. And let us come to him for grace to help us in our need. And how we should be thankful for this wonderful promise, the promise of strength. "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be." In the second place, the promise of strength. Here is this wonderful promise to the tribe of Asher. "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." God promises them strength all their days on the earth. The promises of the Old Testament very much included temporal blessings. But these temporal blessings and earthly things reflect heavenly things and spiritual blessings. And so, yes, as long as they were faithful to God, God would establish them. He would strengthen them as a tribe. They were not the most prosperous and the most numerous tribe. But as long as they were faithful to God and as long as they needed it, which is all the days in this world, God would give them strength. He would strengthen the tribe of Asher. Well, God promises to strengthen his people. He it is who gives them strength. And why is this important? Why would we spend a whole hour hearing a sermon about God giving his people strength? Why? Because they need it. God's people need strength. We are weak in ourselves. Even David, who struck down a giant, he admitted his own helplessness. He cries to the Lord, "Lord, pity me, for I am weak." David was not strong in himself, but whatever strength he had came from God. So we are really nothing of ourselves. The truth is, we can perform nothing that is really good of ourselves. We need God's help. We need God's strength. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves." We can't even think anything good of ourselves. But he goes on to say, "But our sufficiency is of God." We cannot think a good thought, we cannot say a good word, or perform any action that is really good and spiritually beneficial without God's strength. We need God's strength every moment. And sometimes the Lord's people are confronted with a particular duty, and they are immediately face to face with their own helplessness. And they sometimes really feel, "How can I do this? I don't have the strength of myself." And so they are forced to get on their knees and fold their hands and cry to the Lord for strength. And perhaps that feeling of need of strength actually increases as they go on in the spiritual journey. As they get older, as they get more spiritually minded and spiritually exercised, they're not saying, "Well, I don't need to pray as much as I used to." Not at all. They're feeling they need to pray even more. They need God's help more than they used to need it. That's according to their feeling and their sense of need. So the need of strength deepens in their consciousness as they go on in the spiritual journey. Well, it's a good thing to feel our weakness. Because when we feel our weakness, then we are forced to go to the Lord in prayer for strength. And the Lord Jesus Christ graciously promises to help us, and to help us all the more when we feel our weakness. As he says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." It's when you're feeling weak that he comes to you with strength. Let's not think we have to work ourselves up to strength for God to strengthen us. We need to work ourselves down in our weakness by feeling it, by consciously acknowledging it and seeing it. Then God will strengthen us. Doesn't mean throw up our hands in discouragement and neglect the means. Not at all. We're to cry mightily to the Lord. But what I mean is we need a sense of weakness. We need to fully acknowledge it and recognize completely our absolute helplessness without God's strength. But God has promised it. In fact, he is actually commanding us to be strong. To be strong is not an option. It's not just a suggestion. It's not just something that would be nice to have. We need strength. God tells us to be strong. Be strong, he says. Be courageous, he says to Joshua. But the encouraging thing is, God himself is our strength. For all of God's people, he gives us his promises, and some promises are very, very clear and plain. Isaiah 41, verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." God will uphold his people with his grace. He is faithful to do so. He has promised it. He is a God who keeps his word. He will give strength to his people. And God's people know that from experience. They have prayed for strength, and they could see that God gave them strength. Psalm 138, verse 3. The psalmist says, "In the day when I cried, thou answeredst me. I cried to thee, God answered me, and strengthened me with strength in my soul." He did it. He gave me strength. And God has commanded to give strength. He has commanded, and that means ordained, strength. When we read Psalm 68, verse 28, "Thy God hath commanded thy strength." The psalmist is speaking to the church. God has commanded your strength. It means that strength has been decreed for God's people. So strength is undoubtedly on the way for God's people. And so we're to pray for that. As the psalmist goes on to say, "Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. Show thy strength by putting forth thy strength on our behalf, to do it in the future as thou hast done it in the past." It's God's strength, and yet it's our strength if we're God's people. God's strength is our strength. And as we read here in our text, again, back to our text, Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 25, "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." Your strength, Asher, your strength will be according to your days. So the strength of God's people belongs to them. It's theirs. Doesn't mean it comes from them. It doesn't come from themselves. But it belongs to them. God gives them strength. He is their strength. Their strength is his strength. "You have strength," he says. It's in the promise. Your strength, because God is your strength. Remember Gideon. We considered his story about a year ago in the book of Judges. Gideon was ordered to lead God's people to victory over their enemies. Their enemies were at this time the Midianites. God's people, Israel, were disobedient. They began to worship idols. And God sent the Midianites, a foreign army, to punish them for their disobedience. Well, now God is going to deliver his people from the Midianites. And so he commissions Gideon to lead his people to conquer the enemy. And an angel of the Lord, it's actually the Lord himself, appears to Gideon. Judges 6, verse 12. And the angel says to him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Well, Gideon was probably a strong man. He was out threshing the wheat and storing it up for his family. But more is meant than that. "You are a mighty man," the angel says. Now, Gideon says, if the Lord is with us, then why is all this happening to us? Why are the enemies coming in? Why is not God delivering his people just like he delivered his people from the land of Egypt? Then we read something very precious. Verse 14, "And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" You see, the Lord looked upon Gideon. He knew exactly what Gideon was thinking. He knew what Gideon was feeling. He understood Gideon's concern. But he says to Gideon, "Go forward. Go in this thy might. Go in this your strength. You do have strength because I'm commanding you and because I'm sending you." Gideon is still saying, "Oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And God's people might be saying, "Well, how can I be useful in the church? How can I overcome spiritual enemies? Who am I? What strength do I have?" God's answer is, "Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Have not I sent you? Haven't I commanded you? Am I not equipping you? Go in this your might. Go forward in the strength that I promise you. It's your strength that I'm giving you. Go in this thy might." And that is the way that God's people will go forward when the Lord is graciously helping them and commanding them, "Go in this thy might." God will be near his people. God grants his promise. His word is the warrant to go forward in duty, because he says, "My strength is your strength." Psalm 28, verse 8 says, "Their strength is God alone." It's their strength, but their strength is God himself. God is their God. Paul says, "Be strong, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of thy might." So when we feel weary, let us be thankful that the strength doesn't come from ourselves. It comes from God. But God is our God. God is our strength. And knowing that, he is able to help us with our thoughts, with our desires, and with our actions. We might be feeling faint and weary, but the Lord helps us there. He gives us the motivation. He gives us the desire. He works in us to will, so that the willpower, if we can use the expression, is God's power. We go forward determined, and there's real determination, and it's God strengthening us to go forward in his ways. So we're to look to him and rely on his power. Rely on Christ, who says, "Without me, ye can do nothing." We must abide in him. Abide in Christ. You say, what does that mean? Well, it means we certainly can't go far from him. If we wander off in our minds, that's not abiding in him. So we need to think about him. We need to see our need of him. So we need to appreciate our weakness. We need to appreciate his strength. And we're to lay aside our own wisdom and righteousness and power, receive all from Christ by totally depending on him, total dependence and longing desire towards him constantly. You see, that's the need of watchfulness. We might think, oh, we've prayed and we were earnest in prayer, and then we walk away from our room and then we forget what we prayed. Our minds start thinking about something else needlessly. That's not watching, and that's when we're in danger of losing that that connection, that conscious connection and dependence on the Lord. To abide in Him, stay close to Him with a total dependence and longing desire for the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace. And by abiding in Him and looking to Him and thinking about Him and beholding Him in our minds with longing desire toward Him, we will receive strength. We will receive strength according to His promise. And we will receive strength all our days, because the promise is, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. In the third place, the continual grace, the continual grace. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Well, God is promising, in the first instance, the tribe of Asher that as long as they were faithful, they would be strong and numerous and fruitful. God would give them strength as long as they lived. So God promises to give His people strength as long as they live, all their days in this world, whatever the day may be, however many days there are, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Your strength will be according to your days. To us, the future seems uncertain. And it is true, we do not know what a day will bring forth. We can have our plans all outlined and know exactly what we're going to do. We say so, but something else comes along in God's providence and our plans go out the window. Hasn't that happened? Of course it's happened in the last 2 years. But while the future is uncertain to us, there's no ambiguity, no uncertainty with God. And in fact, even God's people can be certain. They can be confident because of the certainty that as thy days, so shall thy strength be. All your days, God will give you strength. That's certain. And so we know from God's word, and that is the certainty, not just what we feel, but the certainty is objective. The certainty is in the truth of God's promise, that according to our existence in the world, however long, and whatever we encounter, whatever we go through, God will give us the strength and the grace according to the need. It's just as we pray for our daily bread, and we're to pray for daily grace, daily strength. Just as God gives us daily all that we need, and we should think of it that way. We're not to think, well, I've got my pantry full of food, and that will last me a week. God gives us what we need every day. It comes from God. If it was up to time and chance, there's no telling what could happen to our belongings and our possessions. But every day that goes by, we should think of it as immediately from God. And the very fact that we have our health and we can enjoy these things that God gives us. Well, just as we pray for daily bread, we pray for daily grace. We're not to think, well, I get all my grace on the Sabbath day, it's stored up for the rest of the week, and then I'm running low, and then back to the Sabbath. In a sense, we can think of it that way. In a sense, because we're spending our time, our minds, and our hearts, and this does affect us to a certain degree the rest of the week. But let us not think of it so much that we're excluding the fact that really every day that goes by, we need fresh supplies of grace. We need to pray for grace to help in the time of need. Our need is every day. And there are some things, some occasions, some situations that call for, as it were, special grace, because there's a special need. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Your strength will be proportionate to the need that you have. And it will be according to the particular circumstances. In family life, we need grace. We need strength for domestic duties. And some Some situations that are just ordinary for some people can be a great challenge for others because they're not used to it, they're not mentally and physically adapted to it. But whatever the challenge is in the home, God can give us the strength for it. We may feel naturally our energy is going to a low ebb, but the Lord can help us in all these things, and we're to pray for that. Whatever God would have us to do, He will give us the strength to do it. And He knows our limitations. He knows. He's not going to call us to do something that He doesn't give us strength for. And we're to pray that He will give us strength for that particular duty, that particular situation in the family, in the church, those particular duties at the prayer meeting, Sabbath school teaching, and being an example. I wouldn't say just being an example, but being an example to the young people and children in the church. That's essential. That's a great duty. We all have that duty to be examples to one another in the church of Christ. And God promises, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And all the various circumstances, not every day is the same. We don't know what's going to happen. We might think that certain things will take place in the day, but every day brings a new set of circumstances, new challenges. But for every day, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. In days of prosperity, or in days of adversity, when there's a day of sickness, God will give strength for that. In a time of loneliness, God will give upholding grace for this. When we are spiritually depressed, we might even feel the Lord is leaving us for a time in our souls, and we may not know why. God will give us strength for that. That's a mysterious communication of grace, even in the time when the Lord is withdrawing His presence and we feel no comfort in our souls, the Lord is still upholding us. We still have His word to go by, to be supported by. We still have His upholding strength, even in the time of loneliness or spiritual depression. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. However dark the day may be, or however bright the day may be, grace will be given according to the day. And we're to ask that we might receive this grace. When the psalmist acknowledges that God is He who gives grace and strength, in Psalm 138, he acknowledges that the strength comes from God, and God will give strength, and He will perfect that which concerns the psalmist. This doesn't mean that he doesn't have to pray anymore. He has the certainty God will fulfill His word, but he immediately prays that God will do that. And that's the way it is in the spiritual experience. That is what the word of God tells us. The promise is certain, but we still have to pray that God will fulfill it. Even the Lord Jesus has infallible promises made to Him, but He's still asking the Father that these promises will be fulfilled. That is the principle of the kingdom of heaven. And so the psalmist says in Psalm 138, verse 8, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me, this is certain. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever, that is true. Forsake not the work of thine own hands." Lord, do not leave me to myself. It might sound like a contradiction, but it's just the way it is. It's not a contradiction, it's God's way. The promise is certain, but God wants us to come to Him for it. He wants to hear our voices. Jesus says to the church, "Thy voice is sweet." And so He wants to hear our voice. He wants to hear our voice in prayer. Plead these promises. The promise is certain. It will be fulfilled. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. In trials, in afflictions, God assures us that He cares for us. He will be with His people all the way through. He will give His people strength to be faithful and diligent in prosperity. He will give His people strength to be humble and still dutiful in adversity. When the road is easy or hard, when we're going uphill or downhill, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. He says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. There will be fire and water. There will be adversity and affliction. God never told us that the road would be easy. He did say that it would be too hard for us alone. But he has promised to be with his people to the very end. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. The strength he gives is proportioned to the need. The burdens that we have, he will give the exact amount of strength to bear it. You might say, well, I don't know if I could ever do that. Well, God is giving you the grace to do what you're doing now. He may never call you to do that, but he will give you the strength to do that if he calls you to it. So he gives you the strength as it is needed. You might think, well, in times of persecution, I don't know how I could stand like those martyrs stood, how faithful they were to stand in all the face of the suffering and the pain that confronted them. How can I be faithful like that? As thy days, as the day of trial, as the day of persecution may come, he will give you the strength to endure. God doesn't give strength unnecessarily. Remember when David brought down Goliath, he was given special strength for that special occasion. He didn't need the strength to bring down a giant when he was playing the harp. But God gave him strength just as it was needed. And so God will give his people special grace in special times. And you might say, well, we always need grace every single moment. That's true. And grace is always special. It comes from God. But he will give you grace and the amount of it for the special occasion. That's why we call it special grace. It's all from God. We call it special grace because it's a special occasion. He gives enough grace for that special occasion to those who are his people. And this is a promise that we can be confident in when we are faithful to use the strength that God gives us now. You see, we can't just think, I'll be faithful like a martyr when the time comes, God will help me, when we're not even doing what God wants us to do now. And God calls us to a duty and we're skipping it. Well, we can't think we're going to be faithful for the greater duty. We have to perform our duties as they come and deny ourselves as providence calls. Then we can expect God's grace to make us faithful in the time of trial. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. In conflicts with Satan, in the struggles against the old man, oh, there's plenty of need we have this very moment. Oh, we need grace this very moment. But as thy days in this world, each day goes by, he will give you grace. All the various stages of life, whether it's in the time of youth when there's so much that is uncertain, young people thinking about job, employment, spouse, home, where they're going to live, what they're going to do, and there's all these uncertainties out there. Well, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. As each day goes by, he will give you wisdom for the duty. As each day goes by, he will strengthen you for what he desires you to do. With the Lord is everlasting strength. In middle life, in old age, when we're tempted to be discouraged because we go through the same struggles and the same conflict and the same duties and the same trials, every day goes by, he will give you strength. He will give you the desire and the encouragement and the strength. And in time of old age, he promises that when others fail, others are fading, others are empty, and nobody likes them anymore. Now that's the way of the world. Some will like them, but the great majority will pass them over. But even in old age, God will be with his people, and they will still bring forth fruit. They may feel, and they will feel, their physical frame tottering, but spiritually, they are like Joshua, who says, "As yet I am as strong this day," or actually it was Caleb, "as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so is my strength now, both to go out and to come in." God had strengthened him to the very last day of his life. And so he will strengthen his people spiritually, inwardly. As Paul said, "Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." As his day, so the strength would be every day, day by day. Remember Anna, the prophetess at the temple. She was at least 84 years old, but she was still there. She was still encouraging others, and she was from the tribe of Asher. God will make his people happy and blessed, and give them grace when they need it, and give grace even in a dying hour. There was a young Christian who said to her minister, "I'm trusting in Christ implicitly, completely, in Christ alone. I rejoice in him as my Savior, yet I'm looking at death as very terrible, shrinking back from death." At that time, she was in perfect health. But her minister replied, "Do not doubt. According to his sure word, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And that there shall be dying grace for a dying hour, a dying day." And not long after this, she became terminally ill. And the fact was, peace flowed in her soul like a river. And she was in the presence of her loving mother and sisters. They watched her at her beds of suffering. And she exclaimed, "Oh, how true I find the assurance given me that there would be dying grace for a dying day." The Lord knows our weakness. The Lord knows our concerns, our worries, our fears. But he promises to give us grace at the time when we need it. "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." So go in this thy might. Your strength, believer, is God alone. He will never leave his people nor forsake them. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. They will achieve great things in the strength of the Lord. Go forward in duty. Go in the strength of the word of the Lord and his presence and his power, because you are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. "I will go," says the psalmist. "I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only." Their strength is God alone. Well, this is the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord, is that your desire today, friend? Do you desire the blessing? Some will say, "Well, I don't really need the blessing." Ah, but there is the curse. Are you prepared to receive the curse? If you're not praying for the blessing, if you don't want the blessing, well, you're under the curse already. All are under the curse already as they are. Everyone who hasn't come to Jesus is under the curse and the wrath of God. But you don't have to stay there, because he offers you the blessing. He offers you Christ, who was crucified. He endured the curse for sinners. And he redeems from the curse. Everyone who believes in him will be saved from the wrath and curse of God. Come to Jesus. Believe on him. Rest on him. Pray for the blessing. He gives the blessing. It's in Christ alone. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, may we earnestly desire that blessing. May we come to Jesus, who is able to bless us with repentance and forgiveness. For that is what the Apostle Peter said, "Unto you God sent his Son to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Lord, may we be rich in the grace of God. May we be trusting in Christ for all these blessings. And then we will be truly rich. Hear us now and help us to keep thy day holy. Strengthen us to go forward in thy ways. And forgive all our many sins and failings, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.